Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the worship service this morning, Sunday the 16th of November 2025. Where has the year gone, Albert? It's just whooshed. Somebody said, I think it was Christine said yesterday, somebody said, it was a stickman thing. There's only 40 days till Christmas, 40 sleeps till Christmas. And Madison was wide-eyed about that. Just 40 sleeps till Christmas. So there you go. Anyway, we very much welcome Dr. David Mayer with us this morning. And David came highly recommended from George West at Bodham and our friends and relatives at the Fitty Mission as well. So we look forward to your ministry today, David, and we pray the Lord will bless you as you minister to the Lord today. There would have been tea this morning, but with the meeting tonight with Robbie Toop from Mission Africa, we're moving the tea to 5:30 tonight. So tonight will be tea in the back hall at 5:30 p.m. for a 6 p.m. start with Robbie and Margaret Toop from Mission Africa. They were here earlier on this year. It was at the end of last year. I can't remember now. So if you can come along, do come along tonight. The Knitting Knotter is on tomorrow at 2 p.m. The Monday Night Kids Club tomorrow night here at 6:30. The Pilates sessions, is there three sessions? Yeah. So Tuesday night, 6 p.m., Wednesday morning, 9:30 a.m., and Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. The Bible reading and prayer meeting is on Wednesday at 7:30 in the upstairs room, and it's on Zoom. We're going through the 40 daily readings in the book of Daniel, which started on the 1st of November. If you've not got one of those books, help yourself to one. They're on the vestibule table. So we're on Daniel chapter 4 this coming Wednesday. Next week, the speaker is Dr. Kevin Deans. I don't know if you know Dr. Kevin Deans, David. He's speaking next week, God willing. I think that's all the announcements. But welcome, David, and I'll just hand over to you now. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me today, everyone. It was a nice drive up from Aberdeen until I hit Mintlaw, where the rain started quite torrentially, but I made it safely through. It's always an adventure coming to somewhere new, because everywhere does something slightly differently. So if I go off tangent, just shout out and get me back online. I'm going to start today with a riddle or a puzzle. My name is David Mayer, and I come from Aberdeen. I was born on the 20th of June, 1967. So if you're good at maths, you can tell how old I am. I was born on the 20th of June, 1967, and today is my 50th birthday. So how can that be? 50 years ago today, on the 16th of November, 1975, which was also a Sunday, that is the day I opened my heart to the Savior and asked him in. And so today, strangely, is my 50th birthday. So nice to join with you on my 50th birthday. I was expecting a great big massive cake on the table back there. Sometimes you get the taste of disappointment when you come into a building, but never mind. Cake at birthday cake the next time. So that is good. Good to join you on my second birthday, 50 years. So let us focus our minds, all that having been said, and let us focus our minds with some verses from a psalm as we come before our God. Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defence to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have privily laid for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Verse 14, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. And we pray that God will add a blessing to his word read this morning and to all the portions that we will look at. Verse 1, deliver me in thy righteousness. We are going through the letter R. Our God is a God of righteousness. We think of him often as a God of love, and so he is. But he is also a God of holiness and purity and a God of righteousness and perfection. His ways are true and his laws are just, and righteousness is his character, our thrice holy God. Verse 3, thou art my rock. He is a righteous God, and he is our rock. We have a firm foundation if we have his Son as Savior, and if we are trusting in him. And he is our anchor, and we are held in his hand, and he is unmovable and our rock as we trust in him. Verse 5, thou hast redeemed me. He is a righteous God, he is our rock, and he is our redeemer. And if we have our faith and trust in the Savior, if we have accepted Jesus as Savior, then he is our redeemer, and he will take us safely home. Verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. He is a righteous God, he is our rock, he is our redeemer, and we can rejoice in him day by day. For if we rest in him and if we are secure in him, then we know that for us all will be well. I trusted in thee in the storms of life and in the wickedness of this world. How important to trust in our thrice holy and Redeemer God. My times are in thy hand. And if we trust in him, we know that for us all is well, and our lives are laid before him, and he holds us and guides us and keeps us and will be with us until he takes us safely home. What a wonderful God we have. So let us lift our voices together and rise to sing our first hymn, which by magic, I believe, will appear on the screen before us.
Thank you.
now let us open in prayer. We thank Thee, our Father, this morning for this hymn which we have been singing, and we thank Thee that we have been able to sing of one who died for us. We thank Thee for the greatness of Thy love, that Thou couldst plan our salvation, and that Thou couldst love us to such an extent that Thou didst determine to send Thine only beloved Son into this world and to go all the way to Calvary's cross, there to die for us. And we thank Thee that Thou didst do this in spite of what Thou didst know about us and in spite of what we were before Thee. We thank Thee, our Father, indeed, that Thy Son could come and that there on Calvary's cross He could bear our shame and our load and our sin. There He could bear that punishment that we should have known, that we should never know it at all. And there He could bear Thy wrath, that we might never endure that. We thank Thee, our Father, for that completed work on the cross, and that He could cry, "It is finished." For we thank Thee that He completed the work that Thou hadst given Him to do. And we thank Thee for His resurrection, and we thank Thee for His ascension to Thy right hand. We thank Thee, our Father, today for the offer of salvation, and that the arms of the Saviour are opened wide in entreaty, and that He says, "Whosoever will may come." We thank Thee today that the gospel message still goes out, and that boys and girls and men and women can come to Him for salvation. We pray today that as Thy word goes forth, there may be those who would hear it and those who would open their hearts to the Saviour. And we pray that as we are gathered together in Thy presence, that Thou would lead us and guide us, that Thou would take us through this hour, and that each one of us might feel Thy touch and know Thy presence and hear Thy voice and Thy promptings. We thank Thee that Thou hast enabled us to gather together in this way today. We thank Thee that we have a wonderful and glorious and loving and righteous God whom we can love and whom we can praise. And we thank Thee that Thou dost deign to step down from heaven even into this room to join with us this morning. We pray that we would know Thee near, and we pray that Thou wouldst bless us as we are before Thee, as we return thanks for Thy Son, as we return thanks for the salvation He offers, as we return thanks for all Thy blessings which Thou dost pour upon us, and for Thy nearness, we return thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray that Thou wouldst be with us even this day in His worthy and precious name. Amen. Now we're going to sing another hymn together, so we will rise to our feet and we will sing it together to His praise.
With God's own heart, oh, let be.
Now, our reading this morning is quite a short one. It is from the book of Revelation, and it is in chapter 10. So we're turning to Revelation and chapter 10. And there in verse 5 we read, "The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." Time no longer. And on my 50th birthday, I can't believe that 50 years have passed since the day of salvation. Where did all that time go? And we are thinking about time today and time no longer. I don't know if any of you remember a TV, it was either a film or a series from the 1970s, Tom's Midnight Garden. Young Tom, a little child, during the war, was sent as an evacuee to a mansion in the country where his aunt and uncle lived. They occupied a flat in the mansion. The Victorian mansion had been converted to flats, and they had one flat, and the owner, old Mrs. Bartholomew, lived in the top flat. He hoped to go out into the grounds and play, but when he went out the back door, all the grounds had been sold off for buildings, and there was just a wee walled courtyard, so he was quite disappointed. And there was a grandfather clock he noticed at the back door. One night he woke up at midnight and heard the clock striking the hour. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. He thought that was rather odd. So he got up and he went down to look at the clock in the back hallway. And he looked at the clock and he noticed light coming in the back door when it should have been dark. So he went out, and there'd been a time slip, and he was out into a wonderful Victorian garden where he met a little girl and they played together. And every few nights this happened. But every time he went out, time had gone quicker in the Victorian time, and she was a few years older. And the next time, a few years older, until the last time she was more interested in fashion and boys, and she hardly noticed the boy in pajamas to play with anymore. And the end of the book, he went up to visit Mrs. Bartholomew because he had discovered that she was the girl he'd played with all through the nights, through that time slip. Now, why am I telling you that story? It's because it's what brought me to the passage today. Because on the clock that struck 13 when the time slipped was written the words, "Time no longer." And that brought me to this passage. There will be time no longer. And one day, there will be time no longer. So we're thinking about time today. Before we speak about that, we'll sing another hymn together. So today we're thinking about time, and we're thinking about the alphabet of time. Don't worry, though, we're not going to do the whole alphabet. We'll just do some of the alphabet. So, Job chapter 14. In Job chapter 14, and in verse 14, Job says, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." So time is, first of all, appointed. Time is appointed. Now, we may think we're just here by chance this morning, but God has so worked in our individual lives that we have quite deliberately been brought here together today. And God has made sure that we are here under the sound of the gospel this morning. We don't have the control in our lives we think we have. Sometimes we like to think that we can choose this and choose that, and to some extent we do. We didn't get to choose where we would be born. We didn't get to choose when we would be born. I think for most of us at the latter part of the 20th century. We didn't get to choose what family we'd be born into. Maybe we would have liked to have been born in the Victorian era, or the first Elizabethan era, or the Roman era. But God chose the date and place and manner of our birth, and has guided us through life in various ways till we were here today on the 16th of November 2025. So time is appointed, and it is appointed that we be here today. And Job asks in this verse, if a man die, shall he live again? Well, that's a good question. And I'm just going to confuse things by saying, depending how you ask the question, you can say no or you can say yes. Now, what do I mean by that? Will we live another life after this? There are those who believe in reincarnation, that we'll come back as another animal or come back as another human. Will we live again? And God's answer to that is no. We will have one life, and then that'll be it. We get one life. What does Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 say? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So we will live this life once. We won't have another opportunity. We won't have another chance. We won't have another life. And at the end of this life's journey, we will stand before God and he will judge our lives. How will we stand before God on that day? Will we stand hand in hand with the Savior, in whom we have trusted and who has forgiven our sins and washed them away? Will we stand before God as if we had never sinned at all through the work of Calvary? And if we stand before God and God sees no sin in us, we will be welcomed into his presence forever. Or will we stand before God having rejected the Savior, having not come to a point in our lives when we trusted in him, still with our load of sin? And what will God do with us when we stand before him in our sin? He will cast us from his sight, and there will be no place in a perfect heaven for us, for sin would pollute that place, and sin is an abomination in his sight, and we'll be cast from him, and the only other place reserved for us will be a place in a lake of fire. How will we stand before God in judgment day? Oh, make sure you stand washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, make sure you stand trusting in the Savior. Oh, make sure you stand with him at your side as your Savior. After this life, will we live again? Well, we could say yes, because life does not end at the point of death. We will live eternally in heaven or in hell, depending what we've done with the Saviour. John 11 and 25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So our life won't stop when death comes for us. We will live on in eternity. Where will you be in eternity? Do you have the Saviour with you? You see, life and man is more than matter. Some people would tell us it's just the physical. But God has placed us as a soul and as a spirit in a physical body. And we will be resurrected before God, or we will be raised from the earth at the rapture when Jesus comes back. There is no soul sleep. There is no annihilation, according to God's word. But we will be changed, as Job says here. I wait till my change or my renewal or my release comes. Where will we be released to? When God calls us into eternity. In the next verse, Job says, Thou shalt call, and I will answer. So we will be taken into God's presence, and where will we be placed? In eternity. Time is appointed. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 29. The time is short. The time is short. Well, short doesn't begin with B, does it? Time is brief. Time is appointed. Time is brief, so true. Too true. And as we get older, and as we lose our hair, or our hair gets whiter, we know time is brief. At the beginning of life, we think it's going to go on and on for ages and ages and ages. You can hardly imagine the end of it. But it's not long before we begin to realize that time and life is shorter than we think. It's just over a year since I retired. I looked forward to retirement for years and years and thought that day would never come. And I looked forward to it with earnest yearning. My goodness, that's nearly 18 months ago. 5 years since COVID. 10 years since we put an extension on the house. Finished in a couple of days, it'll be 10 years since it finished. 20 years since I was in Papua New Guinea visiting my cousin who was a Bible translator and living with ex-cannibals in the Kamula tribe on the Wawoi River. 30 years since the first time I went to New Zealand. 40 years since I left school. 50 years since I was saved. Where did all that time, that brief time, go, and how did it rush by? We used to sing an old-fashioned hymn way, way back, life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time, if in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Of a poem here called Time's Paces. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I waxed more bold, time strolled. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still, I daily grew, time flew. Soon shall I find in passing on, time gone. O Christ, wilt thou have saved me then? Amen. Time is brief, and your time will be the same. So be in time. And looking at the state of the world and the speed that time goes, there may not be much time left. So be in time. Time is brief. Jude is only one chapter, so there's not too much searching when you get to the book of Jude. But Jude, and in verse 17, we read, "Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts." Isn't that true today? And how different society is from what we knew a few decades ago. Time is changing. Time is changing, and not for the better, I guess we could agree. How society has changed and how it is changing, and how they now legislate for what we used to call bad, and that's now seen as good. And what was called good is now legislated as bad. And the Bible said that would happen in the end days. Time is changing, and not for the better. And we look round our town, and we look round our country, and we look round this world, and we see more and more evil and wickedness and crime. What a place in these changed times. And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, we read, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy," and so on goes the list. And today there is so little love of God, and so little love of others, only of self. And wickedness thrives. Times are changing, and not for the better. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "It is time to seek the Lord." So time is demanding. And time is demanding that we come before the Lord today. And looking at the state of this world, we don't know how much time may remain to us. It is now urgent that we repent and that we seek the Lord before it is too late and before God's offer of mercy is over, before the Savior comes and takes the Christians home and the offer is over. So enough of sin, which never satisfies. Sin, of course, can be enjoyable, but enough of that which doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy anymore. It never did. Only Christ can satisfy. I can remember running down the hill in the park and into Grandpa Young's arms, and he'd lift me up and wheeze me round, and I'd go up the hill and run down again into his arms, and up the hill and down again and into his arms, and then he'd say, "Right, it's time to go home." "Oh, just once more." Up the hill, down into his arms. "Right, it's time to go. Just once more." Never satisfied. Same on the chute. "Just once more." Same with sin. Just once more. It's a real trap, and it never satisfies. So enough of that which never satisfies. It is time to turn to him who gives eternal life, and it is time to turn to him who gives satisfaction for time and for eternity. Psalm 115. And in verse 18 we read, "We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." And so when we think about time, we must also think about eternity. There's our E. Time is short. Eternity is long. When we have lived a million years in eternity, eternity will only just be beginning. Time is short. Eternity is long. Time is finite. Eternity is infinite and never ends. And in that eternity, our eternal condition will never change. So if we have entered heaven hand in hand with the Savior, we will be in heaven forever and forever. Praise the Lord for that. But if we are cast into the flames, there is no exit from hell, only an entrance. And if we do not have the Savior, we will be there forever and forever and forever. And eternity is not far away. Only a breath away. The only breath we can fully count on is the one we breathe now. And for some today, they will be swept unexpectedly into eternity, not knowing until it has happened they've taken their last breath. Eternity is not far away. Where will you spend eternity? Forever and forever. We read Revelation 10, that's where we started, didn't we? And there we read, there would be time no longer. Time is finite. There's our F. Time is finite. Time for each of us has an end. Each one of us will leave planet Earth one way or another. We're not going to be in Fraserburgh or Aberdeen or Scotland or planet Earth forever. So many we knew in past years and decades have left us. Their time was finite, and they have gone into eternity. And there is no stopping it, and there is no preventing it, and we too will go. And where will we go? It will depend if we have the Savior with us. Time is finite. Are we ready for that ending? And are we ready for that moment? Do we have our hand in the hand of the Savior? John 14 and verse 8. Philip said unto Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Have I been so long time with you? Time is graciously given to us. And God has given us the time in our lives thus far to come to him. Oh, yes, to have some enjoyment. And oh, yes, to achieve what we can in life and have a job and get our home and our finances and so on. But God has given us the time principally to come to him and make ourselves right with him by being washed in the blood of the Lamb. And God has given us the time he's given us to turn to him. And we have opportunity now, this day, this hour. If we don't have the Savior with us, we have opportunity now. But the time of opportunity, long or short, will end. My father-in-law suffered a serious illness in 1998. And God preserved his life. He suffered another serious illness in 2009, and God preserved his life. So that on his deathbed in 2016, he could have a deathbed conversion. And God graciously gave him all those extra years so that he could come to the Savior on his deathbed, and time was graciously given. Sadly, my mother-in-law was given 95 years, and she held out to the bitter end against anything to do with God. God graciously gave her 95 years, Sadly, I do not suppose I will ever see her again. But I look forward to seeing my father-in-law, who at the end of those graciously given years came to know the Saviour. We must come in the time we are given to know the Saviour. Luke chapter 17 and verse 26. If you mix that with Matthew 24 and 37, you get an amalgamation of the ideas, and I sort of quote them together. Luke 17 and 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Time is historic. God has a divine plan for this world. He's not caught unawares by the affairs of this world. He knows what's coming. And he has planned the way this world will go. And he knows the way this world will go. And he can tell us in his word about the coming Antichrist. And he can tell us about Armageddon. And he can tell us about the condition of the world. And it will be much as it was just before the flood. And it is much as it was just before the flood. He has a divine historic plan. And he has a divine historic and glorious plan for your life. If you'll walk with the Savior, he knows the end from the beginning, and he can thus warn us of what's to come globally, and he can thus warn us what may come in our lives if we go astray. So, in your life, what are you living for? Are you living for yourself? Are you living for this world? Are you living for the Savior? What are you living for in the time God has given and in the history of your life? We've another H, Matthew 24 and 36. But of that day and hour, the coming of the Lord, that is, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Time is hidden. Only the Father knows the timing of the end. Only the Father knows the timing of the return of the Son. It seems not even the Son knows somehow, but the Father knows the timing of the end, and that is hidden. Only he knows when the Lord will be revealed exactly. We can see from the state of the world he cannot be far away, but only the Father knows the exact day and hour. Only he knows when the rapture will take place. And only he knows the date of our death. Only he knows when he will call us into eternity. Are we ready for that moment? I read a Stephen King short story once, and a man developed the ability to see the number of days left in a human life on the forehead of the person. And he saw 32,063, and that was fine. And he saw 4,994, and that was fine. And all was well until in someone's forehead he saw the number 2. And that changed things. Only God knows the number of days remaining to us. Are you ready for that hidden time when God will call you into eternity? Do you have your hand in the hand of the Savior? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Time is immediate. And now is the accepted time. This is the moment we have. This is our opportunity. We are in the day of salvation between the resurrection of our Lord and the rapture when he returns. And I guess we are far closer to the rapture than we are to his resurrection 2,000 years ago. The rapture must be close, looking at the state of this world. But we can only come during that accepted time before God ends his offer and before God closes the door of salvation. Now is the accepted time, and the offer is immediate. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 54. He said to the people, "When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, ye say, there cometh a shower, and it is so. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it comes to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and the earth. How is it ye do not discern the time? Yea, and even of yourselves judge ye not what is right. Time is to be judged." There's our G. Time is to be judged. The weather can be predicted, but we must judge the time, and we must judge our situation before God. And the time is significant. Our days are significant. And in these dark and darkening days, we must make haste to make peace with God before it is too late. Judge the state of the world. Judge the time as you stand before God, and the time to accept the Savior is now. We started right at the beginning reading Psalm 31, and we've come to K, and that is as far as we are going to go. We're not going to Z, you'll be glad to know. We're just going to turn back to that psalm we started with as we think about the letter K. And we read, "My times are in thy hand." Our times are known and our times are kept. And all who know the Savior are kept secure, whatever life may throw at us, and whatever storms we may pass through. If we have the Savior with us, he will hold us safe and secure, and he will never let us go. All is known about us by God, and in spite of what he knows about us, he loves us. To such an extent, he sent the Savior to die for us, so that we could have the opportunity of asking him for forgiveness and salvation. And if you have not done that, do it today, and do it now while there is still time and while he offers to be your Savior. And then we will be held in his hands, and he will deliver us from God's wrath eternally. And we will have a place in heaven with him forever and forever. Time is important. I could have added that one in. Time is appointed. Time is brief. Time is changing. Time is demanding. As we think of time, we must also think about eternity. Time is finite. Time is given to us graciously by God. Time is historic and sometimes hidden. Time is immediate. Time is to be judged. And our times are known and kept by God. And as we conclude our few thoughts about time, do you have the Savior with you? Will you be with him when there is no more opportunity? Will you be with him when time has run out? Will you be with him when there is time no longer? Let us pray. We thank thee, our Father, this day for the time which thou hast graciously given to us. We thank thee that thou hast brought us safely through life, through the good and bad, even to this place and even to this time. And we thank thee that thou hast given us time to come to the Savior and accept him as our own. We thank thee for those who know him as Savior and for all the times that he has walked with us from the day of conversion unto now. And we thank thee that we know through the rest of time and into eternity, he will be with us, and we will be with him forever. We thank thee for the fact he loved us and died for us to make this possible. We pray that if there be any with us today who know him not, that this may be the time, and this may be the day, and this may be the hour that they come to the Saviour and bow the knee and accept him as their own. And we pray that they may do it while there is still time and still opportunity. We thank thee that our times are known by thee and that they are in thy hand. And we pray, our Father, that thou wouldst help us to use the time that remains to walk with thee and to serve thee in a way acceptable. We thank thee that thou hast brought us together at this time and that thou hast been with us. And we pray that thou wouldst bless us as we part. And as we leave this place, we pray that thou wouldst go with us and carry us through the rest of this day and the rest of this week and the rest of the year and through all the time that remains to us. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for the time thou hast given to us. We thank thee for the Saviour. And we pray that thou wouldst bless each one of us as we part. For we ask these things and return thanks now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Saviour. Amen. And now let us have our closing hymn and our service will be over. Thank you for listening and the time you've given me.
Saved a wretch like me.
And now may the love of the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with us all and remain with us all now and forevermore. Amen.